from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse on this beautiful Saturday right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball until 11 o'clock like we do every Saturday, mostly every Saturday. Today, wondering if the Cubs can stay afloat chasing that NL wildcard spot and marking officially the low water mark of the White Sox season. And history. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
David, when you say stay afloat, I had a bad image in my mind. So, first of all, welcome back from Canton, where you and Mully had tremendous shows there in Canton, Ohio, at the Hall of Fame game. And I just have to tell you how enjoyable that whole thing was. And some of those interviews, I think, will be brought back for years. They were so well done and historic.
Thanks, Bruce. We had a ball. It was great fun with Brandon Fryer, Ryan Porth, and Mully and I. We were positioned at the right place at the right time in the Hall of Fame hotel. So as guys walked past, we just grabbed them. And we had a productive couple days, a memorable few days. And it was good for us, the show, and the score. And great for football fans. So absolutely, that was a lot of fun. Thank you very much. But now, back to talk a little baseball. And this is a very interesting day and weekend, as they all are, Bruce, because the Cubs find themselves in the midst of a 3-game winning streak. And we ask the question, what does it mean? Meanwhile, on the South side, the Sox lost their 18th in a row in Minnesota, 10-2 losers to the Twins. They are now 58 games below 500, and as I referenced, that's the lowest they've ever been in franchise history. So they are 0-14 since the All-Star break. We wonder what will it matter if they change managers, but that is speculation that continues to build. So, Bruce, as we get ready for a big show today, we have Julian Merriweather at 9:30. We have Steve Stone at 10:30, and, of course, Chin Music at 10 o'clock. I ask you this, Bruce, from the Cubs' perspective, do they still have reason to believe they can stay afloat in the wild card spot for that final position? And for the White Sox, will they make a change?
Stop using that afloat. I just get this bad image when you say that. And
I'll change my metaphors. I won't mix them, but I will change it.
Let's just flush that, all right?
Okay.
And move on. Look, the Cubs are probably 5 out of the next 7 wins away from being right back in the race, okay? That's how I look at it. 3 wins gets your attention in 2024 baseball when you get 3 wins in a row. 5 out of 7 The fan base is back with you. 8 out of 10 or 8 out of 11, and you're right back at in the race at 500. Okay, that's where the Cubs need to be right now. I believe in the loss column, they're 7 games behind the third wild card team. Okay, that's what I look at. It's the last 2 months of the season. I don't look at how many games they have that says they're out. I just look at the loss column. How many games are they behind the third wild card team? That's what you're going for. I have friends that insist that they're going to catch the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't think on their best day over the next 2 months, the Brewers are going to drop that much and the Cubs are going to gain that much. You never know. You know, I mean, you look at, David, you look at teams like Philadelphia and the Dodgers and the way they've been playing such mediocre baseball since the All-Star break. You just, you know, they're letting teams back into those races. Atlanta's getting back into the East. San Diego's getting back. Arizona's getting back into the West. So we might have some really great races for the divisions toward the end of the year. I don't look for the Cubs to be that. I think they can be the wild card if they put this surge together here over the next week or 10 days.
I think they've got to win 8 out of 10, 12 out of 14. They need to go on a run before you start to look at this. Yeah, does winning 3 straight do anything but pique your curiosity? Maybe, maybe not. But I think to get your legitimate interest and to prove that they are viable moving forward, they need to go on a little bit of a run. They are 54 and 58. There are 50 games remaining. Can they go 30 and 20, Bruce? Can they win 84 games? If they do that, they might sneak in. And if you get into the tournament, that's all that matters. What makes that impossible to disqualify, in my opinion, and maybe people have different ideas, 312-644-6767. The reason why you never really feel comfortable counting the Cubs out is because of their pitching. Now, yeah, yesterday was a tough day for the bullpen. They walked everybody every inning, and that was really hard to watch. But their starting pitching and their bullpen numbers since June are outstanding, and you feel like if they continue that over the final 50 games, they would put themselves in a position if the offense can get as hot as it has been at times this week.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point, David, and I agree with you. Thank the lords of Major League Baseball for promoting mediocrity, okay? That is the key to this, with the 3 wild cards now in baseball and the idea that you're never totally out of that last wild card spot. And more importantly, you know, 2 out of the last 3 wild card, the worst wild card teams in baseball went to the World Series. So with all of that in mind, you do feel like there's hope for teams like the Chicago Cubs. Is it exciting to think about them in the playoffs? Yes, it is. Is it a brand of baseball that we all can relate to as winning baseball? No, I can't relate to this at all. You know, when you're talking about a team that's 4 games under .500 after 112 games, I can't relate that to a winning team. I just can't.
That's totally fair. But they haven't earned that benefit of the doubt yet, Bruce. You're exactly right.
But they're a contending team. So the difference in baseball today is you're not necessarily a good team, but you are a contending team. And that is where you want to be at if you're the Chicago Cubs right now.
We'll talk about the White Sox and what they did post-trade deadline, or what they're looking at after the trade deadline, which included a lot of activity but not much accomplishment on the South side. But, Bruce, I think sticking with the Cubs, they did make a move. They got rid of Mark Leiter Jr., so they were sellers in that way, but they were buyers by adding Nate Pearson and then adding a third baseman that I think, when you look at Paredes, that he is somebody that can be here for the next couple seasons. And I think Jed Hoyer identified him as a core piece. Isak Paredes is going to play third base every day moving forward, and you have seen how he can grind out at bats. A 12-pitch at bat the other day gave you an indication of why he is valuable in the middle of that order. Jed Hoyer talked about how one person won't change that lineup, but Paredes might be a good start.
Well, one person, I mean, is not going to change our offense. I think that as I look at what things I'm looking forward to seeing over the next 2 months, like, we need to be much better offensively. And you know, certainly, whether it, swapping out, Paredes and sort of his approach versus, versus Morel, that doesn't solve that issue. We have to have a lot of guys in that lineup. I think, have had solid years, but ultimately we haven't had anyone really overperform their projections.
Bruce, Paredes is key, but so is Bellinger staying hot, Dansby Swanson getting hot, and everyone else doing their part.
David, the roster construction changes dramatically with Paredes because you have an everyday third baseman. So you don't have the doubt that Council has every day about how do I structure a game? Do I use Morel as a DH? Do I use him at third base? Do we have Mastroboni on the roster, which he isn't anymore? Do we have Bodie starting at third base? Those things are out. You automatically, and Bodie and Mastroboni did good jobs, so I'm not demeaning them, but what it does is it clears up the thought process for Council every day to start that third baseman, have an open DH, have Bellinger back in the lineup, and have a legitimate offensive lineup to go along with better defense. I think the Cubs made their first error in 17 games yesterday. Okay, that is a remarkable turnaround from a defense that has been subpar all year long, and nobody could figure out exactly why, other than starting a rookie first baseman, a rookie third baseman, basically a rookie catcher, and a rookie center fielder. So with all those in mind, the player development part is wound up a little bit now with a veteran with Paredes playing third every day. It changes the culture of the lineup, and I think it's significant to look at.
Pete Crow-Armstrong still has not been thrown out, 21 straight stolen bases, but he's starting to feel a little more comfortable at the plate. That's key. PCA getting going is a big part of this offense, could be. Christian Bethencourt, the new addition, had quite a productive week of the big home run on Friday, Bruce. I wonder, as they try to get back in it, and I wonder as they have so many guys that they really immovable at spots in this lineup, is there room to bring up somebody from Iowa to see what happens in the next 50 games to balance this race to the final wild card spot with development that you're going to need for 2025? It's a difficult needle to thread, but I also think that Jed Hoyer has done it before at the trade deadline, and I wonder what you think about, is anybody at Iowa, is anybody in Tennessee ready to come up and contribute and get a look?
September, not August. Okay, David. August is, are we legitimately going to get back into this thing? Are we going to be an over 500 team? You get there, then you forget about continued player development from those guys. You start talking about them again for spring training invites and attempting to make teams their off-season moves by Hoyer that might allow Shaw to get into a lineup in 2025, one of the outfielders or two there. But right now it's all about this final month of contenders or pretenders for the Chicago Cubs, and I think we're going to see a lot of difference here, but I do have high hopes for that offense. Suzuki is back to being that hitter that he was in August and September. The addition of Bellinger coming out with a broken finger and just hammering the ball right away as the DH right now, it's been a revelation for that lineup. Just for an opposing pitcher and catcher in their pitching and catching meetings before a game, to see Bellinger in that lineup, it changes the way that they look at the game, the way they have to approach the Cub lineup. I think it's an important factor to keep your eye on.
Cubs back at it against the Cardinals today. Pregame coverage right here on the Score, 12:45. First pitch, 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Jameson Taillon, Kyle Gibson. Taillon they held on to, Bruce. I thought that was smart. I don't know how aggressively he was shopped. I don't know what the teams were asking, but they brought him back, and I think that they could do so and still say that they are serious about 2025, and he can still continue the consistency he's provided in 2024. That was smart, I felt like, holding on to Jameson Taillon.
I got a piece of information. So he had 10 teams on his no-trade list. You have to give the general manager those 10 teams at the beginning of every year when you have a contract that allows 10 teams that you can't be traded to. I was told that Taillon picked all the bad to projected not good teams or small market teams on his list that he can't be traded to, okay? Mm-hmm. And therefore, opting into a situation where he would hopefully be only dealt to somewhere that's really good if he was traded. So that was how he approached it there. But I was surprised a little bit, but when Tuesday came before the deadline, the day before the deadline, and he was starting, we knew that whatever deals they were working on had fallen through at that point. They weren't going to let him start if they had another trade.
Meanwhile, Chris Getz on the south side, the general manager for the White Sox, very active, six players left town. Bruce, I think that it's fair to criticize or to wonder if he got enough in return for some of those players. Eric Fetty, who pitched against the Cubs on Friday for the Cardinals, didn't get much in return. The reports out of Minnesota, I know you shot down that there was a higher-ranked prospect offered for Eric Fetty, but collectively, weren't you somewhat disappointed, or were you disappointed in the haul the Sox got for the players that left town?
David, you can't be until you see what these players are. I know it doesn't work for sports radio or our show, but it, you know, you have to wait. I mean, again, you know, there is, you know, Cy Young Award winner Lamar Hoyt traded in 1984 for some, you know, Latin American kid that no one ever heard of at shortstop. I think his name was Guillen. you know, nobody liked that trade when they trade the Cy Young Award winner from the year before for this 20-year-old kid from San Diego that nobody had ever heard of. And again, these trades, you just have to wait for it. It doesn't help White Sox fans feel better about the team right now. And, you know, when you see Fetty traded, by the way, I have to ask you this, David. Fetty losing that game yesterday, mm-hmm. does that count as a half against the White Sox, or is that a loss for the Cardinals? I'm not quite sure.
It's definitely a loss for the Cardinals. The Sox have lost enough. They don't need any help from ex-players, do they? I mean, really,
so,
Bruce.
I guess not. But so Fetty, Kopech, you know, Banks traded. You have Thorpe is shut down. He's going to be probably shut down for the rest of the year is my guess.
Ouch.
You have Clevinger out for the year. Leisure's shut down. Schultens is out for the year. Nestrini out. Elder out. You have Soroka out. So you have a situation where can the White Sox lose 125 games, okay? And the answer is yes, because yes. Because their rotation is Cannon, Martin, Crochet for three innings or 60 pitches. Okay, that's what you're going to be seeing the rest of the year. And then at some point, he'll be shut down totally.
It's a minor league team in major league uniforms.
So you have Cannon, Martin, Flexen, and probably Toussaint back after being released five or six times by the White Sox.
Okay.
I mean, so, yeah, no, nothing personal against him. I mean, he's a professional pitcher, but...
And, Bruce, it's not personal against Pedro Grifol, but it's becoming increasingly clear that this wasn't a good marriage. It seems somewhat overmatched at times, and I don't think that as this losing streak continues, is now 18 and counting, you wonder about his future. Chris Getz, of course, when last time he met with the Sox beat writers, he addressed Pedro Grifol's future.
We just wrapped up the deadline.
Okay, I didn't know.
Just wrapped up the deadline and just wanted to, focus on that. And then, you know, we'll get through tonight once again, kind of debrief and look through the players that we acquired and we move forward from there.
Bruce, I think you could make the argument it would almost be merciful to fire Pedro Grifol at this stage of a long season. At this stage of his long tenure, 2 years felt like 10. But I wonder, what do you think will happen, and what do you know about what's going into the decision?
It's pointless, David. You know, I mean, it doesn't help or hurt the Chicago White Sox either way. Pedro, you know, most likely is going to get let go at some point, okay? But it's hardly going to be his fault, and it's hardly going to be the reason why the White Sox have been bad this year, the manager's position. As Curly and the Three Stooges used to say, and I quote him all the time, he's a victim of circumstances, right? So these circumstances were, it was a bad team, it was set to be a bad team, right?
Sure.
Right? It was going to be a bad team.
You only quote the great ones, Bruce.
Yeah, of course. And the reason it's worse is because when you plan to have a bad team, it can get worse really fast, okay? You knew you were going to have a bad team. You were hoping to only lose between 90 and 100. Now you're going to lose somewhere between 115 and 125. So it is historic, but Pedro Grifol's fault? No. People calling for his head and can't wait for him to be fired? It's totally pointless, David. What's the point of this? I mean, tell me the manager that's going to turn the White Sox around right now in early in 2025.
It's got to take an amazingly difficult mental toll, though. Everybody involved, and I'm sure that it has, which, Bruce, brings us to the Score listener line presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Mike is calling in from Glenview. And, Mike, I think that you understand, and you're asking about the weight of the losing streak, and the weight of the losing must really wreak havoc on Pedro Grifol and others in that organization.
Well, that's right. But first, a clarification. Bruce Curley would say circumstances, not circumstances. So
I left that out because I didn't want to have Mitch Rosen take me off the air immediately. I wanted to wait until after the show.
But my question really, as David said, is we may feel that, you know, there's blame to go around, but at some point, this is such a horrific situation. You have to have there's an emotional feel for these people, not just in the clubhouse, but in the front office. How do these people go to work every day? What is the emotional toll, not just in the clubhouse, but in the people who work for the White Sox? How do they muster the energy to go to the office knowing the likelihood that the team will lose, knowing what the future is not bright? How do they get through that? Is there someone in the White Sox organization who is the emotional strength who helps them get through that? How do they manage this terrible situation?
It's a good question, Mike. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, they probably look at all the mayors of Chicago over the last 10 years, and they look to Mayor Johnson for gutting it out every day in a city that has a problem every day, and he goes to work with that. It's probably a bad analogy, David, but at the same time, you know, that's the job. Pedro Grifol is a professional baseball man for the last 30 years in the game. He's seen losing before as a coach with Kansas City. The White Sox, again, you go into a season, you're Colorado, you're Oakland, you're the White Sox this year. You know you're going to lose. The question is, how many are you going to lose? And can your manager and coaching staff keep the team emotionally afloat to physically go out there and do their job every day?
Pedro Grifol is also paid handsomely to be the manager of a team, win or lose. And I think that factors in. It doesn't mean it's not easy, but it does make it easier, I suppose, because he does have to maintain a professionalism and an approach. He has not risen to the occasion. There have been a lot of factors, but he has at times seemed overmatched and maybe not a great fit for this role. But I do think that this is the pertinent point. What damage might you be doing to the players who are young and developing that you might bring up from the minor leagues to be in White Sox uniforms for the final 50 games? And this continuation of the misery, wouldn't a fresh approach, wouldn't a renewed enthusiasm, wouldn't something be better than what you're going through now, and a new voice a new set of eyes with young players, you have to factor that into why you might be compelled to make a change, because you don't want to squander the last 50 games of development. Possibly.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, David, you know, I think they're all good points that you make there. And, you know, again, can the White Sox professionally just go out there every single day and get the job done? I think it's monumental. But on the other side of it, there's young guys on this team that are trying to prove they're major league players. And I think this is a jumping off point for players who normally would only have these opportunities in spring training and get to be major league players for the last 2 months and show what they can do. I think it's a head start for the organization in many respects. And I think maybe that's what we have to keep our eye on.
We'll go back to Cubs when we come back. Julian Merriweather, he is back in the Cubs bullpen, and we will talk to him next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here's a fly ball into right center. Pretty well hit. Back toward the track. And that ball is going to be gone. A three-run home run. Christian Bethencourt with an opposite field home run to right center. And the Cubs lead 4-0. His first homer in a Cub uniform. And listen to this crowd at Wrigley.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Thank you, Pat Hughes, for that great highlight from Friday's victory. It's 6-3 win for the Cubs at Wrigley Field over the Cardinals, their third straight win. And they are playing some pretty good baseball. And they welcome back to the bullpen recently our next guest, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Julian Merriweather, welcome inside the clubhouse here at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score with David Hall, Bruce Levine. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Bruce. Morning, guys. How we doing?
Welcome back. Boy, it has been a long stretch. I wonder how long it felt, because this is the oddest, one of the oddest injuries, Julian. I know that you probably have heard this before, but it sounds painful even to pronounce. And to say out loud, a stress fracture in a rib in your back. How does one deal with that injury, and how painful was it?
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit of a surprising diagnosis, I guess, once we figured out what was going on. Pretty painful. Honestly, when it happened in the moment, I thought, oh, maybe I just pulled something in my back, you know, with adrenaline, and I think it was the Dodgers series, so, you know, a lot of hype around that. So I think all that kind of hides it for a bit. But the next morning, rolling out of bed wasn't quite the same. But no, once we got the diagnosis and kind of went along the recovery process, everything went pretty smooth. And yeah, it just took a little bit of time. You know, bones, you can't really do much with a bone. You just have to let it heal.
Hey, Julian, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. And yesterday, obviously, it wasn't a great day for you out there. You're still working your way back to being the pitcher that you are. But, you know, winning that ball game obviously takes the sting out of it. But, you know, how difficult is it knowing that, you know, on a certain day like yesterday, you don't have your command, you're out there with 40,000 people, your team, you know, trying to hold on to that lead, and you're throwing pitches that you know you want to throw, but they're just not catching the plate.
Yeah, no, it's not the best feeling when you don't have your command out there. You're always, you know, hoping to fall back on some sort of rhythm or track record that you've had, and I just haven't quite built that up yet this year. So for me, it's just getting back in there, getting more reps, getting in the rhythm of things. I think I showed last year that, you know, once I kind of get in a rhythm, that's kind of where I can lock it in. So hopefully get in there a little bit more. Told Council, hey, hang with me. You know, I'm working through some stuff, and you know, he's been great. He's he knows that, you know, everyone in the bullpen is going to need to step in and help out, and he still has trust in all of us, and it's great to have him.
Well, he probably still remembers, yeah, facing you last year as manager of the Brewers. Tommy Hotovy obviously benefited from your emergence in 2023 with the Cubs. So I wonder, in the situations like yesterday, when you are struggling and you walk four, and it's a situation no pitcher ever wants to be in. Mentally, how do you get through something like that? How do you avoid the self-doubt? Because it seems like when you're watching, it feels like it starts to snowball. How do you stop that from happening?
Yeah, no, in the moment, obviously games can speed up on you. But, you know, I've been in those high-stress situations before. When the results aren't going your way, it's just, you know, you have to go back to the drawing board and figure out what's going on. I'm not really searching as in, like, I don't know what's wrong or why I'm missing. It's just, for me, it's just getting back in the rhythm of the game and being used to those 40,000, you know, crazy Chicago fans that we love out there, and that getting back in that environment with the adrenaline. And it's hard to recreate that in a bullpen or in a rehab outing. So I think the more I get out there, we can smooth out some of these rough edges and just help contribute to the bullpen that's been just doing so well down the stretch here.
Julian, take us into a Major League Baseball bullpen and the mentality of the soldiers of fortune, the warriors that are the bullpen guys, and how, in some ways, the bullpen guys, although a big part of the team, are a separate team unto themselves. You know, the idea that you guys are not only fighting to win a game for your team every day, you're fighting to stay healthy and almost being everyday players yourself.
Yeah, no, we obviously, I mean, the bullpen, it's a tight-knit group. Like, quite literally, we're kind of by ourselves during the game, under the bleachers, hanging out with everyone. And, yeah, our main role, obviously, is to come in and put fires out. So whether it's the starter, or yesterday it was me, Hector, coming in and saving me, we really have each other's backs down there. So it creates a really tight group down there. And, yeah, I couldn't say enough about the guys we have down there right now and the work that I see them put in every day. Just to, like you said, to be ready every day. The reliever, as a reliever, as a group, you know, you might not pitch every day, but the days that you don't pitch, you might have been, one of the next guy up. You just, you know, the game situation didn't call for it. So you basically have to be prepared every day, kind of like a pinch hitter off the bench. No matter what happens, you just have to stay ready. So I would say not just the physical grind of being in the bullpen, I think it's a mental grind as well. Just even games that you're not pitching in, you're fully ready to go in at a moment's notice.
Joined by Julian Merriweather here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You are a guy who has benefited from the infrastructure of the Cubs. Last year you took advantage of that, and we saw the results. And they have a track record now, a pretty good one, of bringing guys in, making a tweak here or there, and then enjoying the benefits of that. So I wonder how you're able to, when Bruce talks about the bullpen being kind of isolated and talking amongst yourselves, imagine you're sharing your own experiences with a guy like Porter Hodge, a younger guy, or like a guy like Pearson who comes to the Cubs with great stuff but maybe hasn't quite found the secret yet. How do those conversations go? And do you feel like, as an older guy, a veteran, almost an obligation to share your experiences because they worked?
Oh yeah, definitely. Younger guys coming up, I mean, I was there once, and we all asked the same questions. You know, there's just a lot of, you know, second guessing if you're doing the right thing and all these things. And it's really just giving guys assurance to be themselves, be as comfortable as you can be, because that's when most everyone's at their best. So it's not about doing the exact same thing. You know, a guy like Nate, like we come from obviously similar organization, similar kind of backdrop of, you know, looking to find that nugget of success with a lot of stuff there. And yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot just from being in this organization for the short amount of time that I've been in it. And you lean on your teammates, you lean on the coaches, and you kind of mix all those things together to create success on the field. It's really not just one thing, but you just try to help each guy in whatever way that they need it. And yeah, I just like to be just an open book for guys. If they have questions, you know, they're willing to ask, then I'm all there for them and hoping to get them there.
Julian, I'll take you back to September of 2023. Every guy in the bullpen was thrown more than they'd ever have been in their major league careers. Guys were going down with injuries. Guys were not at their best, not able to do the job they had done so well earlier in the year. And then you come up and eventually you become the closer at the end of that game. What's it like to watch a bullpen and your friends, including yourself, try to survive a big league season physically and try to get the job done at the same time? Because it was a mess last year at the end. And as we see during 2024, injuries continue to mount for Major League Baseball bullpen guys.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it before, and I think just the when it comes to being a bullpen guy, it just kind of comes with the territory. It's not like a starter where, hey, you know exactly when you're pitching. It's 4 days off and you pitch. It's a reliever, it's kind of, hey, it's your discretion. Like, can you throw today or, you know, do you need a day? And for the most part, you know, guys are down there hoping to help the team every night. And that can sometimes, you know, be to your detriment. I think last year a lot of guys learned a lot about when they, you know, could muscle through some soreness versus pain, you know, risking injuries. I think some guys learned, you know, pushing it too far is, you know, might not always be the best idea. But when it comes down late in September, there's a lot of guys just pulling like on their last, you know, their last little bit of steam, and then they're just trying to help the team win down the stretch. And, you know, that just comes with the territory, honestly. And we do the best we can. We have great staff and medical guys that are keeping us on the field, helping us, you know, in any way we can. So it's just something you got to kind of grind through. And like I said, you don't really want to focus on the injuries or the risk of that. You'd rather focus on, you know, just keeping your body in a good spot, keeping, you know, yourself available as much as you can. Because, you know, if you're not available one day, then that means someone else has to be available. So you're doing it not just for yourself, but for your teammates and everyone else.
Julian, you know how it works in a market like Chicago near the trade deadline. It's, are the Cubs buyers or are they sellers? You add Paredes and Pearson, but then the tough news comes when they trade Mark Leiter Jr. to the Yankees. Good opportunity for Mark Leiter Jr. perhaps in his career because of his background. But I wonder, you take him out of the bullpen, not only a guy that you could rely on the mound, but I know a guy who was very instrumental in that clubhouse. He got along with seemingly everybody. How big of a loss was that? And how did the bullpen take the news?
Yeah, no, Mark was, I mean, he was a staple for us down there in the bullpen. And like you said, in the clubhouse in general, everyone loved Mark. Just brought a great attitude and just the way he carried himself every day. I think a lot of guys looked up to that. I'll say the bullpen's a little quieter now, you know, but we have guys that are, you know, it's really just the next man up philosophy. You know, it's tough to see guys go that you've built relationships with and, you know, guys you've been playing with for a couple of years. And, you know, we're really hyped for him that he can go off and have another opportunity somewhere else. And we're hoping to, you know, kind of be a win-win for both sides. But, you know, it's something that you're going to, you know, just depend on another guy to step up and fill the role. And that's definitely a big shoe to fill for sure.
The Craig Counsell moment, have you had any yet? I always look at Craig and I go, man, if I was playing Texas Hold'em poker with the guy, I would feel like I was overmatched. He's smart, he's interesting, but he doesn't show much until he needs to. What has been your situation with Counsell? What have you seen?
I mean, as a manager, he just brings a very steady, like you said, a very steady, calm demeanor. And I think a lot of teams kind of rally around their manager in a way. They kind of have those similar qualities that they see in their manager. So I think that's made us a lot cooler through the ups and downs this year. And you know, the way we're playing right now, it seems like we're finally hitting our stride and can finish this thing strong. But, you know, Craig's just a really easygoing guy, you know, behind the scenes. He's having normal conversations about family and kind of what he's doing for off days. And he's just really easy guy to talk to for me. So it's that nice comfort of knowing you can have a relationship with your manager and just come to the field kind of excited to talk to everyone and just, you know, enjoy everyone, you know, as a team, which is great.
Julian, we'll let you go, but I got to know before we do, what does the rehab constitute for a stress fracture in a rib in your back? What do you do to heal that?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Unfortunately, kind of just up to your own body. We had a couple of check-ins with MRIs just to make sure the healing process was going well. But like I said, you can't really do, there's no pills or any kind of shots or surgeries you can do for this thing medically. So it's really just a matter of just time and letting it heal naturally. And, you know, we got to, you know, the 6-week mark, which is kind of what they told me would be the range of when everything would calm down. And that's basically the last time I felt it was after 6 weeks. And, yeah, it was just, you know, from there, it's just a matter of ramping up the workload and getting your body back to, you know, where you were before. And that's kind of what drags on after a little bit. But, yeah, definitely learned a lot and from the whole process and really stick to my routines and all that stuff. I think it makes you stronger in the end.
Well, welcome back. The Cubs are stronger with you in their bullpen. We really appreciate your time this morning, Julian.
Dave, Bruce, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Julian Merriweather, the Cubs relief pitcher. Bruce, that is a lot to come back from. I know he had a bad day on Friday, but he is an asset at the back end of that bullpen, especially with Mark Leiter Jr. now in New York.
Yeah, the way that bullpen has come around with a lot of people that people had never heard of before being big parts of that, you have to give Tommy Hotovy and Craig Counsell and the staff a lot of credit for putting these guys in. The Cubs bullpen has been as good as any bullpen in baseball since the end of June. They continue to get better and better with additions. And now with Julian back, it's only going to make them a better team.
I want to talk about the guys at the other end of those pitches, the catching staff or core or however you want to refer to it with the Cubs. When we come back, it's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You know, it's obviously a position that we were looking to solidify, you know, from an offensive and defensive standpoint. Obviously, the catcher position this year has not hit offensively. You know, Jan was last year was part of that offense and hit really well. And obviously that didn't happen this year. And Amaya has struggled, though he's been better. He struggled. So, you know, the catcher spot is one that obviously struggled, but, you know, I would say overall, you're right. I think that what it really comes down to is, you know, there wasn't a lot of changes this off season. You know, last year, I think we scored the sixth most runs in baseball. We're over 800 runs.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine till 11. That was Jed Hoyer talking about needing more for the catching position earlier in the week. Christian Bethencourt heard him loud and clear. Bruce's first game, I think he doubled and had a beautiful bunt. Now he hits a home run yesterday with the wind blowing in, throwing out base runners. A 32-year-old journeyman on his sixth team had a very productive week for the Cubs behind the plate.
Yeah, that's the good news. But it's the bad news for the Cubs, too, isn't it, David? The idea that, you know, a veteran guy who'd been released a number of times, and nothing against him because he's come in, shown professionally he's ready to help a major league team, and it shows you how tenuous a catching job is in the major leagues, that you bounce from team to team and you can come in and out and help another ball club. But that's a position that needs solidification. And Hoyer told me after the trading deadline that they were trying desperately to add to their catching mix by trading for a catcher over the last month with no final result there. So that's something, you know, even though Amaya catches a really good game, and lately, after an adjustment that Craig Counsell helped him make with the hitting coaches, he's hit better. He's still the question, not the answer behind the plate.
Danny Jansen was pursued. He ended up with the Red Sox. Tomas Nito was added from the Mets after being cast off there. And even Bethancourt was released by the Marlins, has an opportunity with the Cubs to contribute down the stretch. But it's all about Amaya. You're exactly right. The stunted development this season. He had a good moment after they benched him, but he has slumped again. Bruce, I ask you this before we break. Moises Ballesteros, is he a catcher that the Cubs can count on at the major league level? Or just a bat?
Next. He can hit. He's going to be a major league hitter, okay? But catching, you know, that's a whole different story. He might be a DH, he might be a first baseman, but catching every day is not the Cubs are really not thinking that for Ballesteros. Is he does he come up as a hitter? Is he used in a trade for someone else? Those are the things we'll have to look at with him. But, you know, I give Amaya all the credit in the world for catching really good games. The belief in him as a catcher for that pitching staff, which has been a very good one, you have to give him credit for that. But you have to hit more than he's been able to hit this year.
The irony of this conversation on a weekend when Wilson Contreras and the St. Louis Cardinals are in town.
Yeah, I mean, he probably feels pretty good about himself.
Probably does, know? Yeah. They have two good catchers now. When he went out, how come the Cubs can't find catchers the way other teams do? I know it's a difficult position to find. I thought they had it in Amaya.
What do you mean? They had Jody Davis, Steve Lake. That was...
Don't forget Barry Foote.
40 years ago.
How about Barry Foote, Bruce? You remember
Look,
Barry
Foote?
Mitterwald. George Mitterwald.
The last time they won a World Series, I think they had three good catchers, right?
Yeah, they did.
So, yeah. So, and they all filled different roles. The oddity of three catchers...
Whatever happened to David Ross?
David Ross will resurface as a manager in 2025.
Southside.
I don't know if he'd be offered it or take it, but you could do a lot worse than David Ross. He's a great baseball man. He's going to manage again if he wants to. He's going to announce again if he wants to. We have not heard the last from David Ross, that's for sure.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm David Hall. We're here till 11 o'clock talking baseball and Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. When we come back, it's time to play a little chin music right here on The Score.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You know, it's obviously a position that we were looking to solidify, you know, from an offensive and defensive standpoint. Obviously, the catcher position this year has not hit offensively. You know, Jan was last year was part of that offense and hit really well. And obviously, that didn't happen this year. And Amaya has struggled, though he's been better. He struggled. So, you know, the catcher spot is one that obviously struggled, but. You know, I would say overall, you're right. I think that what it really comes down to is, you know, there wasn't a lot of changes this offseason. You know, last year, I think we scored the sixth most runs in baseball. We're over 800 runs.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine till 11. That was Jed Hoyer talking about needing more from the catching position earlier in the week. Christian Bethencourt heard him loud and clear. Bruce's first game, I think he doubled and had a beautiful bunt. Now he hits a home run yesterday with the wind blowing in, throwing out base runners. A 32-year-old journeyman on his sixth team had a very productive week for the Cubs behind the plate.
Yeah, that's the good news. But it's the bad news for the Cubs, too, isn't it, David? The idea that, a veteran guy who'd been released a number of times, and nothing against him because he's come in, shown professionally he's ready to help a major league team, and it shows you how tenuous a catching job is in the major leagues, that you bounce from team to team and you can come in and out and help another ball club. But that's a position that needs solidification. And Hoyer told me after the trading deadline that they were trying desperately to add to their catching mix by trading for a catcher over the last month with no final result there. So that's something, even though Amaya catches a really good game, and lately, after an adjustment that Craig Counsell helped him make with the hitting coaches, he's hit better. He's still the question, not the answer, behind the plate.
Danny Jansen was pursued. He ended up with the Red Sox. Tomas Nito was added from the Mets after being cast off there. And even Bethencourt was released by the Marlins, has an opportunity with the Cubs to contribute down the stretch. But it's all about Amaya. You're exactly right. The stunted development this season. He had a good moment after they benched him, but he has slumped again. Bruce, I ask you this before we break. Moises Ballesteros, is he a catcher that the Cubs can count on at the major league level? Or just a bat?
Next. He can hit. He's going to be a major league hitter, okay? But catching, that's a whole different story. He might be a DH, he might be a first baseman, but catching every day is not, the Cubs are really not thinking that for Ballesteros. Is he, does he come up as a hitter? Is he used in a trade for someone else? Those are the things we'll have to look at with him. But, I give Amaya all the credit in the world for catching really good games. The belief in him as a catcher for that pitching staff, which has been a very good one, you have to give him credit for that. But you have to hit more than he's been able to hit this year.
The irony of this conversation on a weekend when Wilson Contreras and the St. Louis Cardinals are in town.
Yeah, he probably feels pretty good about himself.
Probably does, yeah. They have two good catchers now. When he went out, how come the Cubs can't find catchers the way other teams do? I know it's a difficult position to find. I thought they had it in Amaya.
What do you mean? They had Jody Davis, Steve Lake.
Don't forget Barry Foote.
40 years ago.
How about Barry Foote, Bruce? Remember Barry Foote? Mitterwald. George Mitterwald.
The last time they won a World Series, I think they had three good catchers, right?
Yeah, they did.
So, and they all filled different roles. The oddity of three catchers.
What happened to David Ross?
David Ross will resurface as a manager in 2024, 25.
South side?
I don't know if he'd be offered it or take it, but you could do a lot worse than David Ross. He's a great baseball man. He's going to manage again if he wants to. He's going to announce again if he wants to. We have not heard the last from David Ross, that's for sure.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw. We're here till 11 o'clock talking baseball and Inside the Clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. When we come back, it's time to play a little chin music right here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever.
Of
and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.